podcast from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Office of National Mission. This is God's Mission Here.
Welcome back to God's Mission Here podcast from the Office of National Mission from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm your host for these episodes on stewardship, Reverend Heath Curtis. And with me today is Pastor Anonymous. Welcome, Pastor Anonymous.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm going to call you Moses. Pastor Moses, that's what I've decided. And you know, the shtick here is on purpose because I want this episode to be for pastors and lay leaders to think about stewardship, congregational stewardship, and budgeting and how all these things work together. And I really want you to put yourself in, you know, Pastor Moses's shoes, that we're just going to walk through his congregation, kind of doing a mini stewardship consultation that I would do with a pastor or a group of lay leaders together after I had done a workshop in their congregation or they had attended one of our stewardship workshops. So without further ado, let's dive into it. And Moses, introduce yourself.
Yes. Well, I'm Moses. I am in my late 30s. I'm married with four little children, and I'm not quite second career. I did some military service during and after college and after a deployment. I went to seminary in Fort Wayne Seminary that we have. I've been ordained for just over 10 years, and the church I'm currently at, since I'm Pastor Moses, let's call it New Canaan Lutheran Church.
Very good.
It is here in the Midwest, heartland, in the middle of corn and soybeans. My former parish was in an East Coast district, let's call it Egypt Lutheran Church, and I was there for a little over half a decade and came out here. And yeah, the congregation I'm currently serving, our membership baptized, I think, is around 350 or so, and confirmed is in high 200s, low 300s, somewhere in there. So that's on the rolls.
Right.
Between our two services, we have about 110 average attendance.
Okay, great.
Each week.
Great.
And it's established, and then, congregation.
Sure. And then tell me about, you know, what else is, obviously the congregation has you as their pastor, other staff, do you have a school, are you involved in, you know, other ministries in the community?
We have a preschool, pre-K 3 and 4, and that's been established for about 40 years. I had a big bite of the attendance taken out recently because the state that we're in now has every school district supposed to offer preschool, which is, you know,
right.
Taxpayer funded free, and it's all day, every work day. So a lot of folks that they don't like our schedule, so they send them there.
Gotcha. So you guys have what is that schedule? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah. So pre-K threes, it's 8 to 11 Tuesday, Thursday mornings.
Sure.
And pre-K fours is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8 to 11.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I've heard that story all across the Synod, that kind of old school, preschool, that kind of schedule is definitely being squeezed out. You're right. Preschool, self-sufficient though? Does it run on what the people pay for tuition? Or
yeah, we have donations. I mean, the donations, like fundraisers, like we have a big fish fry and do like the butter braid type sales sorts of things. Between that and tuition though, yes, it's not a drain on the congregation in any way.
Gotcha. Great. And then janitor, secretary, other staff.
Part-time janitor. We have a part-time secretary who works about 25 hours a week. There's two preschool teachers. And for a few years, about 6 or 7 years ago, the congregation, I think it was like three, we had a DCE.
Mm.
But I'm the sole pastor, and they've always really just had one pastor here.
Sure. And the community around you, is it booming? Is it really, you know, undergoing hard times? Is it kind of treading water?
It's undergoing hard times. We are unfortunately in one of the Midwestern states that people move out of, not into, for various reasons, political and tax reasons. We're in an isolated part of the state in that the nearest job centers, like the regional, what we would call cities, the closest one is 40 minutes away.
Okay.
And the rest of them are an hour to an hour and 15 minutes away. So even though we're the county seat here, our town has less than 5,000 residents.
Okay.
And there's just the big factory that we had closed in 24 years ago. So it's an economically depressed area.
Gotcha. Interesting. So, you know, my take, you know, placing New Canaan Lutheran Church within American Christianity and specifically within our synod, that's a very common story in our synod of Midwestern, you know, steady to maybe a little bit declining area, but still it sounds like a good group of Lutherans there. So here's a quick stat, Pastor Moses, you might not be aware of, but we'll let you guess. What percentage of LCMS congregations have fewer than 100 people in church in a week?
I'm going to go ahead and stab at 60 to 70%.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's 2/3. So New Canaan there with, you know, 110 on a Sunday, you're definitely in the top third for the size of LCMS congregations. So you've been there a little over 5 years, you know, and I've been to your place, so I have my own answer to this, but it just, you know, you like being there? Is it a good church, or, you know, are they active and you see yourself there for a while?
Yeah, I do see us here for a while. It's an active church. Of course, like so many churches, it's not as big as it once was.
Right.
Through people moving away and through, you know, various leaving for, you know, other churches here or there. And so that kind of they remember the glory days, and it's kind of hard to measure what we have now against that. But at the same time, it's a stable congregation for the modern metrics, I guess you could say.
Sure.
And the people that are active, you know, backbone members, they are active in every way. They come, they give, and they do. And they are absolutely marvelous to me and my family.
Awesome. All right. Well, great start then. Well, tell us a little bit about what you know over your tenure and then previous pastor's tenure. What's the deal with stewardship, with specifically talking with people about, you know, a Christian's duty to support the ministry, or just what they've done in the past or haven't done? Just what have you absorbed in your relatively short time there?
Yeah. So I'm not really sure about my immediate predecessors. We talked a little bit about it three years ago. I've actually been here a little less than 5 years, but 3 years ago, in our newsletter for the articles, I did your series from the Stewardship Under the Cross.
Okay.
I have Stample newsletter articles. And part of it was, even though we were financially healthy then, like it was in the middle of COVID and we were one of the churches where giving did not go down. I mean, people are very dedicated to their congregation here. I just demographics, you kind of know looking at the numbers, because we don't have as many young people as we have older people.
Yeah.
Like my line with my leadership here is every time one of our active giving members goes to be with the Lord, one of the younger members doesn't automatically the next Sunday start giving the same percentage of their income,
you know, right,
to fill that. So kind of like, you know, you prep for the storm before the gray clouds are on the horizon. And so I had, so we printed the newsletter articles for your thing, and I didn't do any subsequent preaching on it. We just printed the articles, and the closest I really came to preaching is if the lectionary lended itself to supporting the ministry, I would mention it, but I never did a series or anything.
Okay, great. All right. Excellent intro. So I hope people listening can now see kind of why I wanted Pastor Moses to be here. This is, let's call it a solid average LCMS congregation. You know, they're healthy. People like to be at their church. Pastor and congregation get along. There's no, you know, big conflict that's been mentioned. The congregation is in a spot where they can absolutely do new things. And yet, if I'm reading behind, and correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor Moses, but I'm reading between the lines that as you look at the general direction of your community, what you just said about your older faithful members going to be with the Lord, it sounds like it's really time to get a handle on congregational stewardship and to teach the people now, because as you, like you said, you want to be there. You and your young family are looking to spend more than a decade there. You really want to be here. It looks like the next 10 years will be more financially challenging than the last 10. Do you think that's fair?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you do if you're in that situation? You love your church. It's a basically healthy church, but you just see these storm clouds on the horizon, or you just feel like, you know, we just haven't really taught this in a very direct way to our people in a long time. And what do I mean by this? Well, I mean the table of duties, or I mean the small catechism. Luther starts off the table of duties. What do hearers owe the preachers? What do the people of God owe toward the ministry of the church? And then he starts with those stewardship verses from Galatians 6 and from 1 Corinthians 9, that those who are taught must share all good things with the teacher. Man reaps what he sows. And then the Lord has ordained that those who preach the gospel should make their living from the gospel. So we've got to teach this the table of duties to the people. People of God need to hear what the word of God says about this and go forth in action. But that can be tricky. So tell me your thinking briefly. So you printed out the stewardship articles. You did a little preaching, you know, when it came up. But, you know, why not more over the course of these past 3 years? What are the impediments for average good pastor, congregation likes you, you like them? Why haven't you already dove into, you know, a stewardship program or something like that?
Yeah, well, so we did have you out to do the presentations, and talking about it with the elders afterwards, the consensus was at that point, since giving was okay, that maybe save it for a time that it wasn't. And that's not the best approach, but that kind of flies in the face of what I said about the storm cloud.
Right.
But no, I think it's something that now we're certainly more 2-3 years later amenable to doing it, because we're starting to recognize, because we even had next week we have a very active dear member who's moving a state away, and sure. And this her volunteer and everything will be felt, you know, or loss of that. So I think we're going to be a little more proactive going into the next year. We're starting first though with a kind of a role clearing. We put that off for a while, and we agree that that needs to be step number one.
Gotcha.
Encouraging people that have moved away to find a church, and folks that are here, you know, get them to come back, et cetera. So,
Great. Okay. So you decide in your congregation, hey, you know, we need to do something with this. What do you do? Well, so I'm going to recommend, and folks at home can play along with me and Pastor Moses, as we now look at a resource that's on our lcms.org/stewardship website. If you go to lcms.org/stewardship and you scroll down, the first thing you're going to see is a collection of resources called Square One Resources, right? Where do you start? And there's a little booklet, Stewardship Under the Cross, that Pastor mentioned. I recommend that pastor and elders read that together. It's really just 24 pages of narrative. So it's short. You can read it at an elders meeting. And then the rest of it is those newsletter articles, Bible studies, and so forth. Read that through. If you're a lay leader in your congregation, read that through and take it to your pastor and talk about it. And then, again, I think this is a great exercise for pastor to go through on his own, for pastor and elders to sit down and do, for pastors and church council. Open up the Stewardship Under the Cross planning guide. So I'm going to begin to refer to that. And Pastor has that open in front of him too. And so it starts off with, and so this is a PDF to help you plan, how is this teaching going to happen? How are we actually going to get this teaching of the word to the people? So it is a lot of homework for pastor, for sure. And he should absolutely pull in the board of elders or church council, help him with this. But, you know, here we go. So we already said our weekly attendance is about 110. And then current year spending is about what, Pastor?
Okay. So let's just look at 2023 numbers.
Sure.
So we had, you want to budget it or just actual expenses?
I'd give them both. Let's see what we got.
Yeah. We were budgeted for $284,000, and actual expenses turned out being $255,000.
Okay. All right. So we budgeted to spend $285,000 and we spent under that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we spent $255,000. Okay. Good enough. What was the income that year?
The income, I think, was about $245,000. So we had like a 10 grand shortfall.
Okay. 10 grand shortfall. And where your congregation is, and percentage wise, it's like 5%. So this is something I see, again, all over our congregations. That sounds very normal to me. If I would guess, your budgeting process is like most congregations. You got the people preparing the budget kind of go line by line and say, should this budget line go up a little, down a little, or stay the same, right? And then you pass the budget and you hope the money comes in.
Yep.
Sound about right?
That's precisely it.
Okay. And you came in, within 5%, so you're a little bit underwater. How were you able to cover that, roughly $10,000 shortfall last year?
Yeah, I think it was mostly through savings, because we have a little bit in the bank, not a lot, but enough to where okay. we can liquidate a CD here and cover it. So,
gotcha. Okay. And then where did that income come from? So again, I'm looking at the Stewardship Under the Cross planning guide for these questions. It's what's walking us through these. How much of that $245,000 was offering plate giving, as opposed to some churches own rental properties or farmland that they rent out, or they've got an investment portfolio? Where does the money come from at New Canaan?
Yeah, for us, it's pretty straightforward. It's all offering plate giving. The interest we have is negligible. And kind of one of the things which is common here is a lot of times the farmers, you'll get a check from their grain elevator directly to the church. I'm not sure if you've heard of that before.
Yes. And these days, people who are having to take mandatory withdrawals from retirement plans, a lot of them will set that up that way also. It helps them on their taxes. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So our next line of the planning guide, so our current shortfall is, roughly $10,000 per year, or roughly 5%, 4% of the budget. And then, we said that was being made up of savings. Some congregations do it from borrowing. You guys are carrying any debt right now?
No, we haven't had debt for years that I'm aware of.
Great. And then another line in here in the planning guide to think about is, the shortfall is being made up from savings, borrowing. What about deferred maintenance? Do you feel like the church building, I think if I remember right, you're in a parsonage, the preschool building, is all that being kept up, or okay. That's great, because a lot of our congregations, I see that the budget is being balanced year in and year out by kind of delaying putting on the new roof, delaying fixing the cracks in the sidewalk, or delaying or not giving, cost of living raises to staff and employees. I'm glad that's not the case where you're at.
Yeah, so, for now,
right, exactly. And so if this were to continue, if you were about $10,000 to $15,000 short year in and year out, how long can that go on, do you think?
Boy, without having the numbers in front of me, probably for 10, 15 years. I mean, if they also factor in rising costs of Concordia plans and stuff like that. So,
And factoring in, the general trends of your area that you already talked about.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So great. So just the planning guide starts with a quick financial snapshot. And now it moves on to, we have to teach the word of God to people. The only, as I've said in previous episodes, the only stewardship plan is to teach the people what the word of God says, to ask them to live their life that way, and then to plan accordingly. So teach, ask, plan accordingly. And so we want to, you've done a little bit of this in the past, but now we want to make a plan, make a timeline for getting the teaching done in 2025. So you guys are on a January to December budget, is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, great. I tell people you're really looking at a 9 to 12 month plan to do this kind of congregational teaching. This should not be something that we try to rush through. And the other key concept is that whenever we have something that, especially something that is difficult or challenging or controversial, that we need to teach in the church or change in the church or both, we need to do it from the inside out. So you're the only pastor on staff. You don't have any other teaching staff. So when I think of inside out at New Canaan Lutheran Church, I think it goes pastor, and then elders, and then what's the next group at New Canaan?
Probably the council.
Okay, the council, and then after that.
I'm sorry, you're talking about leadership or
for the kind just, of core? Well, yeah, I mean, eventually we're, so the outermost circle is going to be the worshiping congregation. So we got pastor, elders, church council, what's between them?
Yeah, I'd say the Bible studies.
We have a very and the Bible studies, right.
Sunday and midweek studies, so.
Perfect. So that's our plan. That's what we have to figure out. We have to go from the innermost circle to the outermost circle. We have to teach the elders. Well, pastor has to prepare, and then he has to be able to teach the elders, teach the church council, teach the Bible classes, and then he'll be ready to really teach this very directly from the pulpit. And just as Pastor Moses already said, we want that to be really natural. We want that to be in accordance with the lectionary. So I'll talk about that in a moment. But so as you can see in the planning guide now, we want to begin to rough out some dates. So I'm going to guess you guys approve the budget in November?
December, actually.
December. So we've got December 2025. That's our date. Okay. So that's our budget due date. So we want to put our, you know, Harvest Festival, Stewardship Sunday, whatever you want to call it. Let's just say put that a month earlier. It could be 2 months earlier, whatever, October, November 2025. And so now I want, you know, 6 months before that is when I want to be really, I want to have open for preaching that makes sense according to the lectionary. So November minus six, so that's 11 minus, it puts us back in like April or May. So we can begin to see some liturgical dates here, right? We're going to have, do you use the 1 year or the 3 year lectionary, Pastor?
We use the 1 year here.
Okay, so 1 year, there's a very natural Stewardship Sunday, Trinity 15. But there are all kinds of other things that are going on in the lectionary. And so if you've got the planning guide in front of you, slide over to the right-hand page in the shaded column, and you'll see resources for pastors planning. And number three there, you'll see stewardship in the lectionaries. So we've tried to do that kind of heavy lifting for the pastors planning worship, planning these preaching dates. So you can open that up, and whether you're in the three-year or the one-year lectionary, that's going to lay out for you, here are the weeks that make sense to preach about stewardship. Here are the weeks when the readings we have in church are dealing with these topics. So you'll be able to open that up now, Pastor, and pick dates between April and November that really make sense. And you can plan that out ahead of time, and you can have a list. Okay, I know that I'm going to preach on this, you know, six times over the course of these 6 months. And I think you can see the advantages of that. It's natural. It's coming up with the lectionary. Nobody will know when you're going to do it. So perhaps if anybody, you know, anybody who's ever run away from a stewardship presentation before won't be able to run away. So those are all good things. And then, okay, so that leaves, okay, between January and April of 2025, that's the time then to get the leadership trained. That's the time I've got to get through elders, church council, and Bible study. And then, you know, we'll leave this for your planning after the podcast, Pastor. But you'll notice on the right-hand side, then I encourage you to actually set a date, right? What is the date you're going to do this study with elders? I think for them, I'd recommend January, right? I'd recommend your January meeting. What's the date you're going to do this for the church council? Well, depending on how their schedule goes, I'd say January, February, or March. Other lay leaders, are there other, and then when do we do the Bible studies? And we can do the Bible study. We'd like to get the Bible studies accomplished. I think Lent would be a great time for your schedule. So that, like, we've got the Bible class, the specific Bible studies on this topic wrapped up before you're going into the preaching that'll reach everybody in the congregation. So those Bible class, if your Bible class is like mine, 25% of your attending adults go to Bible class. That's about average. Are you doing better?
Yeah, we're probably doing a little better than that.
Yeah, that's great. So those people will already have a really good understanding of this before they hear it from the pulpit. And then you'll be ready to head into the fall, and you will have taught the people, and then their resources and stewardship under the cross for what does it look like then to ask people? I'm really asking you, as your pastor, you've heard what the Bible says. We need to do this now. And that's the last thing I'll just mention about New Canaan, and that is there's one stat that we can kind of get a hold on to get an idea of, you know, where's the congregation at in general in its giving, and that's giving per communicant member. And when I looked at New Canaan for pastor, I could see, I do think that there is evidence that, you know, that number for them is a little bit lower than their district average. So I think it is. I think there's every reason to believe that when the people of God hear the word of God on this topic and they're asked to do it, that there's going to be a response that's then going to allow you to plan for your next year, your next 5 years, your next 10 years in a way that's going to be very healthy. It's going to be based on what the congregation is actually capable of. And all of that based on we've actually taught the word of God. So obviously I know who Pastor Moses is and I will follow up on him, but I think we have every confidence that this is going to go well.
Me too. I certainly hope so.
Okay. Do you have any closing thoughts for us, Pastor Moses?
Just simply that I think that in retrospect, I wish we had followed up your presentation with this action. I mean, I could have pushed a little harder for it, but as you know, and I think you alluded to it earlier, pastors are busy and it's always easy to justify doing something that seems secondary or tertiary
right.
down
right.
the road.
Yep.
And, you know, it's one of those things that I love the saying, and I've used it a lot, but an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Yep.
And this whole thing, this whole program, you and the Synod is an ounce of prevention. And it's really more than that. It's going to be much more than a pound of cure if done timely and properly.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll look forward to updates. And that's it for our time. Thank you for listening to God's Mission Here podcast from the Office of National Mission. And thank you, Pastor Moses.
You're welcome. Glad to be with you.
Yeah, take it easy.
Thanks for joining us. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so that you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and how He delivers those gifts where you live and serve.